To Truth, Part 3. Once I've done the introduction, we'll get into the... No. If you would turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, please. Galatians chapter 4, and the last verse that was read out by Steve is our text, although I'll be going to quite a few different texts this morning. The Apostle Paul asks the Galatian churches in verse 16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Today's message is about truth and feelings or emotions. And one of the interesting things about trying to find a text for this subject is that there really are not too many of them in the scripture. And that in itself, I think, is quite telling. What it tells us is that we are living in an unusual day. We're living in a time when feelings and emotions have been given a priority and an importance which is way beyond the priority or the importance that they've been given in former days. Whether those days be the days of the Apostle Paul or just in the last like 20, 30, 40 years in our day. It used to be that although people of course had emotions and feelings and expressed them, and there have always been people who have been carried away by them and allow those feelings to govern their ideas of the real world, that there was nevertheless a culture that kept feelings, for the most part, in check. A person understood, for example, that when it came to facing the world, when it came to getting a job or passing an exam or getting on with somebody else or living and let live, that kind of thing, that their feelings could not be given the run. Their feelings were not the things that were the most important things. And what was important is that there were more important things, more deeper things, more concrete things than our feelings, which can be very fleeting, which can depend on which side of the bed we got up on this morning, on how much sleep we've had, on what we've been eating, on who we've been listening to, and what we've been listening to, on whether our sports team won or lost, on whether we're having a hard time at work or at home, on what kind of movies we've been watching, on what we've been reading, on basically the way that we've been cramming our minds and what we've been cramming our minds with. In this passage, and in fact in this letter to the Galatians, some of that is evidence because the Galatian Christians have been listening to preachers and teachers who have been teaching them false things and have been appealing to their feelings, getting them to feel that they were more righteous if they took a particular view of circumcision in this context, but of merit, of doing something to merit righteousness, so that they felt good about themselves because they were more godly because they had things right. And God, therefore, would rubber stamp their feelings about themselves and other people because of their new knowledge. Paul here is correcting them. The whole letter to the Galatians is a corrective. And he really goes after them in this letter. He's not really gentle about it, but he loves them. And in the midst of this correction, he has to say these words to them. Have I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Because I chide you. Because I go after you. Because I correct you. And he certainly was qualified to do this chiding and this correcting. Why did they consider Paul against them? Why did they think that that he didn't like them, that he was somehow angry with them? Why did they consider him an enemy in this sense? Because their emotions were being allowed to vent, being allowed to have sway over what they were thinking. Paul had to correct them, and he corrected them with the truth, and the truth hurt them. The truth convicted them, it impacted them. The truth, rather than being something external that they were nodding their heads to and just agreeing, the truth was brought to bear upon them, upon their thoughts, upon their hearts, upon their spiritual lives. And it was pointing its finger at them. And through the person of Paul, it was telling them off. It was reproving them. And they didn't like it. Now, it's understandable that one would feel uncomfortable about being told some plain truths. We've all been told plain truths and sometimes not liked it. But we've also, I hope, appreciated being told the truth. But we also understand why Paul would say this in this verse. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And that is because Paul saw in their response to him that because of their hurt feelings, they thought he was a bad person or a nasty person or not a nice person. They thought he was their enemy. Their feelings were getting the better of them, and they were dictating their interpretation of Paul and Paul's correction. So that Paul's correction wasn't really getting through to them, because instead of listening to it humbly and meekly, instead their emotions started welling up and they started to feel angry against Paul. They were not being wise. And nobody who allows their feelings to dictate how they're going to think about somebody else is wise. Now, both in Hebrew and in Greek, the words that are used for the heart are not just about the emotions, they're not just about the feelings, they concern the whole person. But generally speaking, it is true, as it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We might paraphrase that and say, as a person feels or allows themselves to feel, so are they. They felt, the Galatians, they felt that they were right and that Paul was their enemy, not because of the truth which they had rejected, but because of their emotions that they were listening to. And that certainly is the way that our society has gone. Nowadays, you can just say something to which somebody takes offense, and you automatically are wrong. Why? Because what you said was untrue? No, but because it caused offense. Now, we're going to explore that when we look at Cain a little later on. But the first point we need to make is that feelings and emotions in and of themselves are not bad things. Because they're part of us. They're part of the way God made us. In Psalm 139, the psalmist is very clear that we are made. Every part of us is made by God. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Well, this means that not just the psalmist's body. Just turn it off. Turn it off or take it out, please. This means that not just the psalmist's body or the time of and the years of his life, but also his temperament, his feelings, his emotions. You got it? They were made by God. Some of us, there used to be kind of four temperaments that were spoken of, and I think there's something to them. But some of us are more A-type people. We're more go-getters. Some of us are tightly wound. Some of us are more extrovert. Some of us are more introvert. Some of us shy. Some of us very outgoing. These are all part and parcel of our temperaments, and our emotions are part of those temperaments, are they not? And they're God-given. We will respond differently to different things. Some people will be hurt by things that they hear. Other people will not be hurt by things that they hear. And much of this has to do with our temperament and with our maturity. And so there's nothing wrong with that. You shouldn't feel bad about having emotions, but the very fact that people and their feelings respond differently to different circumstances, to different messages, to different truths, to different things that they see and hear, tells us that emotions cannot be a gauge of what is right. Since people respond differently. And therefore it is foolish. It is the height of folly to judge truth or to judge what is right or to judge the way that you are by the way you feel about it. It is even more foolish. In fact, it is the height of foolishness to judge the Word of God on what you feel about it. Or to replace what the Bible says with what you feel. It's not that your feelings should be discounted. It's just that they are not authoritative. They're yours. You're entitled to them. But they may well mislead you. Here's the problem, you see, that feelings and emotions are tied inextricably to our hearts, and our hearts are deceitful. Therefore, our feelings, much of the time, will tend to be deceitful. We all know this. Sometimes we may feel that God, for example, is not paying attention to us. We may feel frustrated with God, or a sense of sadness that God is not doing his job. We may feel forsaken by God. Is any of that true? None of it's true, but we may feel it. Now, if we imagine that and we continue to focus on our feelings about that, we will be thinking folly about God. And we ourselves will be impacted negatively with those emotions. Our emotions start to govern our thoughts. It's the same about our spouses. It's the same about our extended families. It's the same about people that we interact with. It's the same about people that even we may call our enemies. Somebody may tell us something about them, we think automatically, well, that can't be true, because our emotions are kicking in. And we're not, because our emotions are kicking in, we are not willing to give them a fair shake. Emotions are God-given, but they partake of the fall. And sin takes advantage of our feelings. Satan takes advantage of our feelings. We live in a sensual world where Satan has adapted through technology, the technology of man and other things, he has adapted his temptations to strike home with ever more effectiveness. And it's very difficult sometimes to turn one's eyes, to turn one's ears away from those temptations, because they abound. They're all around us. They impact us in ways that we ourselves don't even understand. And they get to our feelings. It's hard when our emotions are being impacted by sights and sounds and a flurry of different signals all around us. It's hard to think straight when we feel pulled one way or another way by the way we are feeling. Emotions can be extremely powerful. They can have great power over our thoughts. And if we're not careful, if we're not very careful, our emotions can dictate to us what we are going to receive as truth. In fact, what we are going to call truth. You see, these people, these Galatians, they would like, the truth was hurting them, yes? It was making them feel bad. It was hurting their feelings, their emotions. And so they would much rather not call that truth and have to change their feelings so that they embrace that truth. It would be much easier to follow their feelings and to call something else truth that they felt good about. That's what we do. But what have we learned about truth? Truth doesn't change because of the way we feel about it. It doesn't change for you, for me, for anything. It's just there. It's reality. And we need to conform ourselves to reality. It's a God-given reality. This is the truth, a God-given interpretation of reality. And if we throw this book out, we replace it with folly. We replace it with something that is not true. And so the warning is, yes, although feelings are part of us, do not allow yourself to be persuaded by your feelings about anything. About anything. This is not to say your feelings cannot give approbation, cannot agree with that which your mind is telling you is true. But don't let your feelings have the first say. Don't let your feelings be the one that leads your thinking. You will almost certainly end up in untruth, believing lies. Truth and feelings often collide in this world. That's what Paul was facing. Another example of this is in Genesis chapter 4. In fact, this is perhaps the best example in Scripture. Genesis chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel. You know this story. Verse 3, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Cain thought God was his enemy. Cain was angry with God. God had rejected his offering. Well, it couldn't be, could it, that there was something wrong with the offering? It couldn't be that, could it? It was just that God was picky. He had favorites. God just liked Abel more than he liked Cain, and he was angry with God. Let's read on. So Cain was very angry. His countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, he's coming to Cain. He sees that he's sad and he's angry. Why are you angry? Typical question by God, isn't it? It's not, are you okay? Everything all right? It's right straight to the point. Why are you angry? We need to remember that. You see, truth cuts through all of the kind of the whitewash stuff, gets to the point. Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Well, if he's thinking correctly, what is he to get from that? That he has not done well. There's something wrong. No reason to get angry. It's just that there's something wrong there. If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, you see. And its desire is for you. And you should rule over it. You should rule over it. Sin is what's making you angry. Sin is what's responsible for those feelings of yours. And you need to rule over your feelings. Did he? What happened because he didn't rule over his feelings? Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. That's what happened. That's what happens when feelings are allowed free rein. They leave destruction. They cause bitterness. There's no room when somebody allows their feelings to dictate to them. There's no room for humility. There's no room for grace. There's no room to do anything but to lash out. What was wrong with Cain's sacrifice? We're not told specifically, but it doesn't take us a lot to figure it out. It hasn't got anything to do with the fact that Cain brought an offering from the ground. I mean, in the later system, there were offerings to God from the ground that were accepted by God. It obviously wasn't to do with what he brought. It was how he brought them. What were his motives? It's because God looks at the heart, doesn't he? Reading between the lines here, Abel understood that he was bringing his offering as a worship to God, his creator. He was bringing them devotedly to God. Cain was bringing his offering religiously. This is just the religion. This is just what we do. Do you see? The heart was not devoted to God, devoted to truth. So God rejected it. This is religious. This is outward show. The real you isn't in this, Cain. But if you do well, if your motives are true, will you not be accepted? Cain would rather let rein to his emotions. I'm sure he didn't mean to kill his brother, but that's what happened in the end because he would not be corrected by the truth. He would not let the truth hurt. Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Jews, "You seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth." They didn't like the truth. They were religious. They just didn't want the truth. They didn't want it. You can't hear the truth if you allow your emotions, if you allow your feelings to dictate what truth is. Manage those emotions. Manage those feelings. Say, yeah, I feel this way, but I'm not going to allow the way I feel to dictate to me what is true. I recognize this is true. I recognize I'm not feeling good about it. And I need to deal with my feelings because they're sinful. That's the way to do it. I used to work for a large company in England as a buyer, purchasing officer. And there was a guy who was a professing Christian there. This is before I was a Christian. And there was a guy there who, his name was Ivan. And professing Christian, and he had the worst testimony among the workers. He was always telling them about how God had told him this and God had told him that, and he felt called by God for this and that, and yet he was a lousy worker. He was known for making inappropriate remarks and for being untrustworthy. His feelings were leading him. God wasn't leading him. He just blamed God, or at least said it was God who was calling him to this, who he felt God was leading him in this way. God was nowhere near that. I remember with shame, but somewhat comedically, being in a pub called The Vine, which is one of the pubs I used to frequent. And there was this guy who was a professing Christian. His name was Richard. And I was getting on there pretty drunk. And he started talking to me about Jesus. And he said, "Do you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit?" I said, "Sure, you know. I mean, you know, I wasn't reasoning too well. I was up for anything." So, yeah, he put his hand on my head and he started praying over it. I'm drunk. Okay? He's in the pub with me. He baptizes me with the Holy Spirit. No, he didn't. Here's a person that allowed his emotions to get away with him, you see? Truth could not have made him do that. I can't count how many times I've heard someone tell me that they felt called to preach or to be a missionary or whatever. And I've just put a little bit of truth on them and said, "Okay, if you feel called, then read this much of the Bible and read this book and then come back to me and we'll talk about it." Never see them again. Because they weren't really interested in the truth, you see. They were interested in the fantasy of it, of the romance of it. It was all about emotion. Feelings, even though I haven't said this, and in the second point, feelings can get in the way of truth. Don't let them. Don't let them. A few years ago, I was teaching through 1 Timothy in this church. I got to chapter 2. I got to the end of chapter 2. You can have a look at it if you want while I'm talking to you. 1 Timothy chapter 2 forbids a woman to teach or to usurp the authority over a man. And so I expounded that text last time I saw that person in this church. And I could see she had a face like a squash violin while I was saying this. Okay? She didn't like it. But all I'm doing is expounding the text. I didn't write it. I didn't write it, but my job is to expound the truth. And that was it. Have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? So we need to manage our emotions with or by the truth. Now that means that we're going to have to humble ourselves. That means we're going to humble ourselves. God can see if we humble ourselves, okay? Other people can't. You can maybe persuade other people that you're humble. You can't persuade God that you're humble unless you are humble. The heart, as I said, is deceitful. Now, here's an example of that. If you'll turn to Philippians 4, this is a very practical example. And you guys know this passage, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, "Be anxious for what? Nothing. Nothing. Be anxious for nothing." That means Paul is addressing people who were anxious. Is anxiety and worry, is that part of our feelings, part of our emotions? Of course it is. And God-given. The truth is being applied to it. A corrective is being applied to it here. Be anxious for nothing, but by, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in and of itself will often take away those bad emotions, those false emotions, those lying feelings. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. As long as we don't allow our feelings to get in the way. As long as we understand that our feelings have got to be brought into check here. Yes, we are anxious. Yes, we are worried. But the truth has authority over your worry, over your anxiety. You're told not to. Okay, I can make a decision not to. Or, even if I am, I can make a decision to listen to this, that I oughtn't to be. That I oughtn't to be. Do you see? And even that, in our heads, is going to help our feelings. Isn't it? And then he says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Get your head out of the trash can of the world. Stop listening to the world. Stop watching that garbage on TV. Stop reading that nonsense. Stop listening to that nonsense that maybe even friends are telling you. Maybe even people in your family are telling you. Focus on good stuff. That's going to have an impact up here, and that's going to have an impact in the way you feel about things. Do you see? Takes a while. I spent many years with depression. Many years. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. It's horrible. But I finally told myself the truth. Stop feeling sorry for yourself, Hennebury. Stop wallowing in self-pity. I didn't want to be told that because I wanted to be comforted, consoled. Okay? But that's not what I needed. I needed to be told the truth. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. When I stopped feeling sorry for myself and started focusing on other people, gradually the feelings, the depression went away. Not straight away. Because they were habits that were learned. Habits that my body had learned. Yeah, responses that my body had learned. But gradually, it went away. I know that if I start focusing on myself and started feeling sorry for myself, those feelings would return. I had to tell myself the truth, though, and act on that. And keep acting on it. It doesn't matter what my feelings were telling me. Truth needs to be obeyed. John says in 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And so, emotions, feelings are part of us. They are God-given, but unfortunately, they are impeded by the fall, more than most things, actually. 2, feelings can get in the way of truth. So put feelings as subsidiary to truth. It doesn't matter what you feel about it. Truth doesn't care what you feel about it. I'm sorry. It's just gonna say what it's got to say. And then manage your emotions with truth. Take truth and align yourself with truth. And stuff your emotions. Align yourself with truth and you'll find that gradually your emotions will start to come in line with your thoughts. Final text, and really quickly, John 8, verses 31 and 32. I should have written this down. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I should have written that down for you at the end. But you have to abide there, and you can't abide there if you listen to your feelings. Let's pray. Father, we are all very familiar with the way that our feelings, our emotions make us feel about people, make us feel about ourselves, make us feel about you and other people. They often cause us to go into extremes of anger or worry or fear or sadness or self-pity or distrust. And the only cure is humbling ourselves before truth. And allowing truth to have authority. And ignoring those feelings if they don't align with truth. Truth is everything. Without truth, Lord, we have nothing. Without truth, we don't have you. So help us to be wise. Help us to be lovers of the truth and doers of it. In Jesus' name, amen.